Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, I was going to start today's show with a pun. I was going to ask you how you feel about if you're that high on Svi, changing your last name from Zayas to Svias. But, but bigger news. Kobe is reportedly kind of sort of maybe thinking about coming out of retirement to play in the Big Three League.
I'll believe it when I see it. Like I could see him doing maybe, you know, a game or two here or there, but I just don't see him, you know, traveling about the country and doing that. He's got bigger. This man just made like what, $200 million?
Yeah.
of profit on body armor, I think it was. Like,
yeah, and the energy, or no, the sports drink.
Yeah. So I don't know. If he does do it, he seems to me like the type of guy, like he's either going to do something and do the hell out of it, mm-hmm. or he's not going to do it at all. So
right.
Maybe I'm wrong with the whole, maybe he'll show up in a game or two type of thing. It just, I want to hear it from sources closer to Kobe. I'm a little skeptical right now. And by the time this releases, I might sound like an idiot and he's confirmed it. So, you know, that's the risk that you run.
I would be absolutely shocked. You mentioned the money he made. That was the first thing that I jumped to, is that he's not going to do anything. Like, he's not going to come out of retirement to play in a league unless he's paid. Like, he wouldn't take a pay cut to play with the Lakers. Like, he's going to take. Go ahead.
There's some possibilities there, right? That he could have some. Maybe there's some equity stake in the league that's mm-hmm. put in it. That him playing in it helps elevate that. But yeah, again, it just seems like a lot of effort for. And I mean, would it be wonderful to see Kobe play basketball again? Hell yeah! Even in a 3-on-3 type of league, I'd love to see that. I don't know, man. Like, but yeah, there are some financial routes that maybe make it make sense.
I'm not sure how I feel about seeing Kobe come out of retirement. Like He ended on the 60-point game. That is one of the NBA's kind of coolest moments ever, in my opinion. Like, that was it. Right off into the sunset. Just like with MJ. Right off into the sunset. You had that jumper in Utah. It was like the cleanest swish of all time. Let it go. And then he comes back and plays for the Wizards. And then, like, Kobe is going to play in a league that Allen Iverson was too drunk to show up for? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, I feel like if Kobe was going to come back for, like, a full-time type of thing, he'd come back to the NBA,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But again, you know, this could be foolish in 24 hours or less. It seems un-Kobe-like to do this. And, yeah, he went out on – like, that is there a more memorable final game of a player's career? I don't think there is.
No.
Like, the only thing that could have contended was Jordan hitting the jumper against Utah, but then he came back and played for
Washington
for a couple of years, right? So to me, that was, you know, a storybook ending. And it was so, like, I loved that he took 50 shots. Like, the whole damn thing was just
yeah.
was just so Kobe, like, in
yeah.
and how he brought him back to actually win the game and just kind of dug deep. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not going to complain at the thought of seeing my favorite Laker ever lace him up again.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems, I don't know, I'm skeptical.
Yeah, yeah. Was there a missed free throw? Like, maybe Shaq missed a free throw as the last thing of his career before he walked off the court for good. Maybe.
That seems like an unnecessary shot at Shaq.
You know, I'm sorry. Hey, I'll take my shots at him during company time. I'll just put it that way.
There you go.
All right, enough of that stuff. The reason we are doing this show is to preview Rajon Rondo's season. And usually we would designate the entire first segment to what he's done leading up to these moments or leading up to this upcoming season. We'll quickly touch on that stuff. You guys know where to find the show. Today's show is brought to you by Ease. Go to ease.co. Yesterday I said ease.com/lockedon. Go to ease.co/lockedon to get $20 off of your first purchase. More on them here in a bit. But we have let's really, and then you guys know where to find the show and all that. So let's hurry up and get to the Rajon Rondo stuff. He's coming off of playoff Rondo, right? Like that's the big thing here is that he had an insanely impressive series against the Portland Trail Blazers, knocked those guys out, outplayed probably Damian Lillard, and then the year before that, that was the year that he played the Celtics as a Chicago Bull, and probably would have knocked out the Celtics if he didn't break his hand. So you have the highs there, but you also have the lows that appear anytime you go through the doldrums of an 82-game season as Rajon Rondo. So where do you find the middle ground between those two things?
Yeah, I mean, playoff Rondo is definitely a thing. Even TNT Rondo is a thing. A listener actually pointed this out to me, which I thought was brilliant. And this is statistically backed throughout his career. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lakers having as many national TV games, as kind of silly of a point as it seems like it is, that's actually funny. A good thing for Rajon Rondo, right? Like he is a significantly better player when he's on national TV. So, you know, he's a guy where last year, you know, a year ago, I would have been furious at the Lakers bringing in Rondo because I don't think I understood what they were going for as well as I do now. He had a really good season, and when DeMarcus Cousins went down, he helped push them forward both literally in terms of pace and helped along with Anthony Davis, of course, and Drew Holiday, but was really the engine that kind of pushed that offense to being a really high level offense by the end of the year. And they were kind of like a diet Warriors type of thing, right? Where they played at the fastest pace in the league throughout the year. And they were only sixth when Cousins went down. Once Cousins went down, they were number one by far, pushing them to number one overall on the year. And one of the misconceptions that I had about him that from going through tape, it was comforting, was I always kind of pictured him as that point guard that dribbles 8 to 12 times before just making the pass that gets him the assist. And he really cut back on that. He made a lot of nice, a lot of nice hit aheads and outlets and just swing passes, kind of just really early offense effective stuff. So it's exciting to me, the idea of having like 48 minutes of that with him and Lonzo. But yeah, from watching tape on him, I really warmed up to him, and I think he's going to be closer to the good Rondo, maybe not as many minutes, than kind of that guy who, you know, is just drifting on the court and doesn't provide any scoring threat at all, which is even true in good times too.
Yep. I would tend to agree with everything that you said there. I would add to that though, the one thing that Rondo does give is that I still think he can be a starting caliber point guard when asked to be in short stretches of time.
I mean, he was last year.
Yeah.
Right.
I would say he's talented enough, and he's prideful enough. Like, he's the other guy. You and I talked a lot about how everybody has heard all offseason long about how this team is going to struggle to make the playoffs. Aside from LeBron, I think that pissed off Rondo to exorbitant extents. Like, he is livid when he hears that stuff. And so, like, he becomes insurance. He becomes not only a solid addition, in my opinion, and we'll talk about his team fit here in a couple segments, but he also is insurance in case Lonzo's injury stuff actually does kick up again. And that's a really important aspect to the addition here, is that if the Lakers hope to make the playoffs, they aren't so reliant upon Lonzo's health being the gamble there.
Yeah, I mean, Lonzo missed 30 games last year, and it's easy to project him going forward. And he hasn't gotten much work done from a basketball perspective mm-hmm. because of a knee surgery, right? There are a lot of questions. Those are, to me, the most valid questions about Lonzo, is can his body hold up over an 82-game schedule? This team is way deeper this coming year than it was last year, on top of obviously being better at the top end with the signing of LeBron. So, yeah, having him in the fold rather than Tyler Ennis as the backup. And you see that across the roster, right? Like, they go much more than 8 or 9 deep, which is about what they went last year. And yeah, Rondo being able to step in and help, there are people who think that he's going to compete for the starting spot. I'm not one of them, but that is something that's worth considering at this point.
Yep. We'll talk about that, the starting lineup stuff, here in a second. Honestly, let's just go to break. I'm going to take a quick second here to talk about Ease. We'll take another quick second there to get a couple other bill payers in there. And we will come back to talk about Rondo individually in segment number 2. But first, let's talk a little bit about Ease. That's EAZE. If the website, if you're going through the website, you go to eaze.co/lockedon to get $20 off of your first purchase. Or you go through the app, EAZE, which you can find on iTunes or Android. Anywhere that you get your applications, you can find it through there. It's safe, it's secure, it's easy, hence the name. It delivers right to your house with verified consumers, retailers, and cannabis brands. This one-stop shop has you covered. They have everything: oils, creams, pens, flowers, edibles, pre-rolls, and yes, even pet products. If your pet is having any kind of anxiety or anything like that, do plenty of research. And the cool thing is you can actually do a ton of research on the applications or at the website. So great few things there. It's secure, like I said earlier. It ensures safe legal access to cannabis, especially for consumers with impaired mobility or limited access to cannabis. Go to eaze.co/lockedonlakers to get $20 off of your first purchase. That's eaze.co/lockedon to get $20 off your first purchase. Or if you're using the application, it has a spot where you can put your promo code in there. That's also locked on. Get your $20 off there and have it delivered to your house. That's eaze.co or the app EAZE. All right, so Rondo, individually here, in terms of what we're really looking for, is fairly straightforward. Just pick up the slack, be a backup point guard, which he is more than capable of doing, and in some situations be the better of the two point guards on nights that either Lonzo physically doesn't have it and is not able to go, or just doesn't have it, period, and maybe you need some big moments down the stretch of a big game. In terms of Rajon Rondo, the individual point guard, the individual player, what's the biggest thing do you think he needs to be able to do to make things work for the Lakers next year?
This is a little less concrete, but I think his leadership and his basketball IQ, I think what he's able to pass down to the younger guys is probably the most important thing for beyond this year. Who knows how next summer shakes down, but there's a good chance that Rondo's a one and done type of thing as a Laker. One of my favorite stories about Rondo is they were playing the Warriors when Mark Jackson was a coach. I think he was still on the Celtics at the time, Rondo was. And Mark Jackson calls out 42 cross as the play call. And Rondo looks at him as they're, you know, he's defending and as they're passing by. And he says, "You don't have a 42 cross in your playbook," which was correct, right? Yeah. Which, because Jackson was trying to, like, there are a lot of times that teams will make false play calls or run false action where 42 cross will mean actually a different play, right? But Rondo's the type of dude that knows playbooks and things like that inside and out. So I know I'm maybe going off course from the intent of your question with individually what he can provide, but just like the knowledge, those are things that young guys, they just can't know at that point. And I think we've got some really smart young guys that have, if they had somebody to kind of show them the way in that respect, and how do you learn these things and pass this knowledge on, they can add on top of their tools. That's going to be wonderful in terms of tangible on-court impact. He's a guy that, to me, he's the second unit shot creator, right? Like, if you put him alongside, and who knows, maybe Kuzma ends up starting, but if Kuzma's off the bench, Kuzma's going to eat next to him. JaVale McGee, one of the things I noticed from watching Rondo tape is how many lobs to Anthony Davis. Now, teams aren't going to play ball denial on McGee the way they do on Anthony Davis, but still, like, that he throws some of the prettiest lobs in the game. So just, like, the ability to create shots without necessarily having to run a lot of plays for the second unit especially, I think he could really feed on that alongside a couple of the good scores that the Lakers have off the bench.
In yesterday's show, we basically outlined what the bench unit is going to be like. It's going to be essentially as it stands right now, and you never know how things might tweak over the course of the season, but as it stands right now, it looks like on paper it's Rondo, Hart, Lance, although Aaron seems to think that Svi might make his way into that unit.
Yeah.
which yeah. makes a ton of sense. It really, really
I would
does.
Love that. And Aaron has gotten my hopes up on that too, so I blame him. And to be in Aaron's defense, I don't think he thinks it's going to happen right away, mm-hmm. but by like midseason, he thinks there's a good chance of that happening. And Aaron is very much a guy worth listening to.
Yes, absolutely. And so you go Rondo, Hart, early in the season, Lance, Kuzma, and Zubats, or, you know, whatever. And my question is, so you have Rondo, who is very capable of creating for others. Is he so capable, though, that he can, because the burden is really on him. Like, there's sure, nobody else yeah. on that court. I mean, maybe Lance can, to a certain extent, if he's willing yeah. to. Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe. But is Rondo capable of carrying that burden to the extent that he's going to have to in those brief moments when that unit is on the court together?
I think he is, and because that's been the role. He's oftentimes been the guy who's been the assist leader, right? 8 to mm-hmm. 12 assists per game, while the next closest guy barely has any. He's been the guy who's had the ball in his hands and distributes it to scores. To me, there are three starters in that unit that you talked about, like three guys that could credibly start on NBA teams in mm-hmm. Rondo, Josh Hart, and Kyle Kuzma, right? That second unit should be killing teams, especially in second units, and especially under Luke, tend to be more wide open, again, fewer play calls. One of the things Luke talked about was how they had different playbooks, which I don't love that for the starters and for the bench. But Rondo's the type of guy where you can give him pretty much all of the shot creation responsibilities. And yes, Lance can handle some of that himself as well, but not as good of a distributor for sure. And Rondo can do that. And gosh, like the opportunities that Kuzma is going to get off of that, the spot ups that Hart can get off of that. If Svi gets involved, my goodness, give him a shooter to just let it fly off of that. Give him a lob threat like JaVale mm-hmm. or even Zubats. Zoo played a lot better when he had Isaiah Thomas next to him, when he had a like credible pick and roll guy. If you look at the numbers for Rondo, he was, when you include his pass outs, pick and rolls, including passes, 1.09 points per possession, 92nd percentile in the NBA. He's one of the best pick and roll guys in the league. Mm-hmm. And so you just give finishers around that and then guys who can spot up, that second unit should kill it.
And you know, again, we're getting into some of the team concept stuff here. But
sorry,
it's hard to actually isolate guys, because the thing with Rondo is that you kind of understand what he's capable of, right? Like over his career, he's averaged 10.5 points, 8.5 assists, about 5 rebounds, about 2 steals, and then the shooting percentages are what they are. Right. Like you very much know what he's going to do. If given, you know, something close to his career minutes average of 32 minutes a game. Now, well, go ahead.
Yeah, and with the way he plays, kind of as that floor general type of guy, it's hard to separate what he does individually from the team concept, because yes. he is in charge of the team concept in a lot of ways.
Yep, absolutely. So it's kind of hard to statistically or completely isolate what Rondo is going to do on a basketball court. And so it's just going to filter very easily into the team concept, which we're going to get to here in a second. So in the team concept, like the one thing when Rondo was brought on, because anybody who's watched him play knows that he can be a magician at handling the PNR. Right, at handling the pick and roll. He's a lot of fun there. The thing that I was surprised to find out about was how he pushed pace with New Orleans, which, again, plays into account with what the Lakers are trying to do next year. In those minutes where the bench unit and starting unit is staggered, and you have LeBron and Rondo on the court at the same time, those pick and rolls, like you and I talked a lot about LeBron as the screener in these kinds of situations, those pick and rolls between Rondo and LeBron, and you know, it's going to be a little bit more jumbled because you still have to – they can sag off of Rondo to a certain extent. But he has learned, and this is one thing that I'm really excited for him to impart on Lonzo, he has learned to still close that space despite yes. not having that the shooting ability. And I can't wait to watch those pick and rolls, man. That's going to be so much fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, he can teach Lonzo a lot about the angle. Now, I still one of the things I don't like about Rondo's game is the shots that he passes up. I think there's value in being a threat. And even if Lonzo can get to, heck, 33-34% from behind the three-point arc, Lonzo has a type of volume that Rondo has never had to a shooting game, right? And when Lonzo was good this year as a shooter in that, 25-game stretch or so, he was doing it on, like, 6 threes per game. Yep. But there are opportunities where – just because the defense gives you something, kind of the old adage in sports is take what the defense gives you, right? Well, sometimes they're not good enough to take away what they want to take away. Mm-hmm. And Rondo's really good at exploiting that and understanding, like, well, yeah, maybe you're sagging under and all that, but I'm still going to get the ball to Anthony Davis the way that he did. I'll still get the ball to LeBron, hopefully this year or however that works out. But a comparison that I want to make in the team concept, this is a weird one, but stick with me and forgive me for rambling a bit, but Lou Williams, they're totally opposite in that Lou was very much a scorer, mm-hmm. but the way that that unit played, remember Lou and Jordan Clarkson kind of split the backup point guard duties, but not really point guards, right? It's going to be the same in that it's a lot of transition and drag screens and early offense, very simple offensive actions. And then you have that guy create off of that. For Lou, if he was going left, he was going to pull up for that jumper. If he was going right, he'd drive to the basket. And he was an okay passer, right? But it was basically put the ball in Lou's hands, set him a drag screen, which is a pick and roll in transition with the trailing big coming up and setting that screen, and let him go to work. I think there's a lot of the second unit's going to be built around put Rondo in ball screen situations if the initial transition opportunity doesn't work out, and let him go to work. And there's not going to be a lot of complicated, you know, action out of that because you've got finishers around him on that second unit. So even though they're totally different types of players, I think the style we'll see is going to be similar to Lou, except Rondo is going to be passing out of those instead of Lou shooting out of them.
We briefly talked about, you know, we alluded to the way that he'll be able to impart wisdom on Lonzo. But to me, like, if I have my own kind of what I'm most looking forward to with Rajon Rondo thing next year that we'll get to at the end of the year. But if I had to isolate one thing that Rondo makes the absolute most sense for on this Lakers roster or for this Lakers organization, it's the relationship and the mentorship that he'll be able to have with Lonzo. He is such a great guard to learn from with Rondo. Not even just offensively, because a lot of people are going to say offensively, Lonzo gets to learn from a point guard who can't shoot, right? While he maybe brings his shot along. But defensively, the way that now Rondo was, I think, at his peak, better on ball than we've seen from Lonzo so far. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the way that he affects the game defensively, it's in a lot of the same ways that Lonzo affects the game defensively. He just likes to kind of roam around and create havoc on the defensive end.
Yeah, very much so. And Rondo is a guy who is not nearly the defender that he once was, but I also think that maybe the pendulum has swung a little too far in that he's not a bad defender. The one thing that he's bad at, and I'm curious to see how this fits in with the rest of the team concept on the defensive end, he's really bad at switching. He does not do a good job of switching on to bigger players, and even if it's, you know, twos and threes, he does not handle that particularly well, and that's something that was a big part of what the Lakers do and presumptively will be what they do this year. So there are a couple of guys on the team that don't switch particularly well, and I wonder if they're going to play together. That's mainly Rondo, KCP, and Zubats are the guys that are probably the biggest weaknesses in that. So one of the ways they could mitigate against that is to play them together in lineups. So that'll be interesting to see how that develops. But yeah, like just things like angles, understanding plays. One of the great assets that Lonzo has is his anticipation, which is not the same thing as knowledge, right? If he knows the play that they're running, if they call out 42 cross, right, and Lonzo knows that that is in the playbook for this team and this is what that action goes, that takes his natural instincts to an entirely different level where he knows what's about to happen and can really exploit the natural instincts that he has. So I'm looking forward to Rondo passing a lot of that knowledge down.
Absolutely. All right, let's wrap this thing up with the one kind of minor thing that you're really looking forward to with Rondo. I'll start because mine, I can't hold it in anymore. I am really excited for Rajon Rondo not to be Tyler Ennis. Like, I'm
That's probably the best thing he's got going for him.
like not Tyler Ennis is going to be the best player on the Lakers roster next year. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch that. I just can't wait to be able to watch the player who will fill those minutes now. And that player, like, look, I give Ennis a hard time, and you and I give Ennis a hard time about the way that he kind of approaches the game and all these things. But it was legitimately harmful to the team, the amount that he was asked to fill that role last year because of Lonzo's injury concerns.
Yeah.
And yeah, it could be one thing if he was a backup and Lonzo played 82 or 80 or whatever, even 70. but he was asked to do a ton. And if Lonzo struggles again like that, having an above average NBA player to fill that role and in many cases fill that role in a way that a lot of people, I think people are underselling how good he is at this point in his career.
He was better than Damian Lillard in the playoff series.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Right? You know, like, now, can he do that for 82 games? Probably not, no. But that's the caliber of player that he can be. And he's very much a guy that turns it on and turns it off. And that can be, you can see that on the defensive end, right? Like, there are sometimes it's like, come on, dude. And then there are other times where it's like, he knows exactly what he was going to, he's similar to LeBron in that way, right? Where LeBron definitely takes plays off, mm-hmm. but when he needs to, he understands what he needs to do on the defensive end and has that basketball IQ. For me, not to cut you off, but for me, I want to see like a 48-minute track meet, 48 minutes of hell, right? Yes. Where you had Lonzo Ball, who the Lakers were first in pace in the NBA when Lonzo played, and then you have the guy who was the point guard and the engine behind the team that ended up being number one throughout the season in pace. If you got Lonzo and Rondo, and I'm curious if they can play together. I have some skepticism on that due to shooting concerns that are pretty obvious. But if nothing else, having 48 minutes at the point guard spot of guys that just go, 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 that's going to be an exhausting team to play. And that's what I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Absolutely. I forgot to get to this. And actually, it is really important that we discuss this. The concern that maybe Rondo earns the starting role over Lonzo. And it's not so much that we don't want, or Laker fans or people out there watching this team don't want Rondo to be the starting point guard. It's that him getting it over Lonzo may kind of stymie the growth that Lonzo might have over the course of the season. So here's how I would frame my concern with it. As we've said all show, Rondo does turn it on, right? He does 100% understand when it's time for him to really go full bore and when it's time to, you know, kind of take plays off. When he turns it on, he is legitimately, I would say, an upper half of starting point guard caliber player, right? Like top 15 type of starting point guard. And so training camp is going to be one of those short bursts that if he turns it on, he's going to be better than Lonzo, I think. He's going to coming off of the injury stuff that he's been dealing with as he works his way back to 100%. So like my concern is in that short burst of training camp, he turns it on and earns his starting spot over Lonzo Ball while Lonzo isn't quite ready for that positional battle. And I don't know if that's a good thing for the Lakers.
So a couple of things. If Rondo is truly better than Lonzo, then he deserves to start. Well, I think we are past that point. The moment that we signed LeBron, we're past the point of we're not unconcerned about the development of the young guys. Obviously, that's important, but that cannot supersede the short term in terms of talent. Like, you can still develop coming off of the bench. So if Rondo is truly better than Lonzo, I'm fine with him starting. I don't think he was better than Lonzo last year, to be perfectly honest. I think Lonzo is really, really underrated in terms of the impact that he has on a game. This is a place where with as much film that I go to, it's easy to use film to support whatever argument that you want to make. This is an area where I go to the numbers and to the analytics. And if you look at, so for example, like the net rating differential, Lonzo, in plain English, the Lakers were better with Lonzo on the court versus him off of the court to a greater extent than any other player that was in the rotation last year. They were better points per 100 possessions in that way. If you look at, Lonzo was the best player on the team in terms of RPM last season. Mm-hmm. And he was, at least amongst the rotation guys, I think he was ahead of Julius. Julius may have been ahead, but he was either first or second. If you look at like all of the different ways there, one number analytics and ways there are to measure a player, Lonzo was at the top or near the top, and better than Rondo in all of those categories. I think the fact that he has a really weird shot and that it did not go in very often, and he's a bad, flat out bad scorer, which is the thing that people see the most, especially if you're only watching a couple of games here and there. I think that is vastly overrated in the big picture of how good Lonzo is. Because the whole point is to try to win the game.
Yep.
And if you put Lonzo around guys that can finish and things like that, I think Lonzo already does more to help you win a game than Rondo does. So maybe Rondo in that short burst is able to outplay him. I think it would be very short-sighted of the Lakers to do that, unless Lonzo is really struggling to recover from a physical standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, that I think quells some of the concern regarding this topic specifically is that Rondo has, at every turn, said all the right things about understanding what his role is going to be for the Lakers, for the best case scenario of what the Lakers want to be. And maybe Rondo doesn't go full bore to win the job, recognizing what he does best for the Lakers.
I don't think that does anybody any good. He needs to go full bore, and he needs to challenge Lonzo, and he needs to get in Lonzo's ass as much as he can. Like, to me, that's what's going to make Lonzo better. And that's something that, like, in a competitive environment, that doesn't do anybody any favors, in my opinion, for him to, like, tone it down to make sure Lonzo wins out.
I think the only time that it would do some favors here is if Lonzo isn't 100%. Like, at that point, you're just throwing dirt on a grave. You're kicking dirt on it. Like, if the guy isn't healthy, the guy isn't healthy. Should he even be playing
if he's that impaired at that point?
Yeah,
he should get to 100%. And everything we've been told is that he will be 100% by training camp, right? So as much as I like Lonzo and as good as I think Lonzo already is and will be, like, to me, there's a no excuses, no going soft on him. We'll all be better for it, and it might not bear fruit now, but come January, February, when this team really starts hitting its stride with this new group of guys, if Rondo gets after Lonzo, and if he's hurt, man, go at, you know,
yeah,
attack the injured guy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how it needs to work. I think that Lonzo, if Lonzo is what I think he is, he'll rise to the top and show that he's the better player.
I enjoy chaos as well. And the response from LeVar, if Lonzo isn't in the starting lineup opening night, will be fantastic. It will be incredible. So, all right, that'll do it then for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Rajon Rondo is a hugely fascinating addition to this team. I really like the addition. I think you and I both agree that we really like the addition. It's going to be really interesting to watch how things all play out with him on the team. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Ease for sponsoring this series. We'll be back at it again tomorrow to preview somebody else. I'll figure out who right after I... Harrison, come back from vacation. Talk to you guys later.